Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adusk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Wednesday, March 30th, 2016. And if you folks didn't tune in yesterday and you're tuning in today to listen to Wendy Wilson, we rescheduled her yesterday. Instead of today, she normally is here on Wednesdays, and I needed to change some things around. And if you'd like to listen to her program from yesterday, you can go to our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com, and pull up the Tuesday program. And Wendy Wilson will be there for the first segment of the program. So you have myself and Al for the next hour. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Gold today, as we mentioned when we spoke prior to the program, the market giveth and the market taketh away. And not all of it, but gold is down 1590 today at 1227 for gold. Silver is down 12 at 1535. Platinum was down 4 at 969. Palladium down 12, 569. The USDX today is 0.36 at 94.85. Crude oil up 0.09 at 38.37. And the fine paper markets today, you had the Dow up 83 points at 17,716. The NASDAQ up 22. 48.69, the S&P up 8 at 2,063. 10-year yield, doesn't look like everyone is real confident of the markets, 1.83%. It is up a little bit, 0.0. The euro is up big, and of course, with the dollar being down, 1.13, up 0.45 for the euro. And Japan was down. It's interesting, Japan was down as much as it was when Janet Yellen's comments from yesterday seemed to, the world market seemed to enjoy her comments, except for Japan. And they were down almost 1.5%.
Maybe it was mistranslated from English into Japanese. Did you think about that?
No, I didn't.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. See,
I have no comments, Al.
Yes, no, you do. You're just not saying the comments.
I can say
you
it on the radio.
Comments, but you're not saying them.
It begins with an I.
Uh-huh.
I bet you know that.
I, sir, is that what it was? Is that
no, not quite. The second letter is a D. Uh-huh. Anyway. We'll talk. You wanted to talk a little bit more about Janet Yellen. I don't know if you want to do that now. I wanted to talk about a report today that was released by the Pew Institute. But so either or, I'll let you take it away.
Go ahead. You can run with whatever you got there. We'll catch to Janet Yellen later in the program. Here's an article that interests me because there's an implication here that I find interesting. This is from a publication called TechCrunch. That's a publication. It's not a breakfast cereal, Melody. TechCrunch. But technical things, see? The headline is, Will Capitalism Survive the Robot Revolution? Now, I've talked about robots a couple of times on the program over the past month or two. I'm increasingly aware of the extraordinary changes the robots are going to cause. And, you know, if you haven't seen this, if you haven't seen some of the Japanese robots that are available right now, like little people that get things and pick things up, and I mean, there is some extraordinary. There are some extraordinary things happening in this science of robotics, and it does not bode well for people because they're going to take our jobs. One of the most extraordinary stories I've seen in a year. Was a report back, I don't know, 6 months ago, something like that, that the principal industrial province in China expected that 90% of the jobs, this was where most of their industry is concentrated, their assembly lines and so on, they expected that robots would replace about 80, 90% of their employees by 2020. That's extraordinary. It's extraordinary. And it's, what are they going to do with these people? There aren't any jobs for them anymore. What will they do with them? That's one question. And we're not talking about a couple thousand people. We're talking about tens of millions who are likely to be unemployed. Plus, if robots can replace Chinese labor, I guarantee you they can replace American labor because American labor is much more expensive than Chinese. So this is a strange thing, and we are facing some extraordinary challenges from robots. But here's a headline, Will Capitalism Survive the Robot Revolution? And what really rang my bell, they talk about the problems with robots and what we can expect. And here's one, if 90% of human jobs are replaced by robots in the next 50 years, that's one comment. This isn't going to happen in the next 50 years. This is 90%. I guess I'm going to make you bet it happens within 20, and it could be like 10 or 15. This is an extraordinary revolution because the economics of using robots is so much superior to the economics of employing living people to do the job that no one can resist. You're going to wind up even either hiring robots, employing robots to do jobs, or you're going to be driven out of business by competitors who use robots. Which means the unemployed in this country, unemployment will not be an unusual or a minority problem. It will be a problem for the majority of the American people. So when they talk about, will capitalism survive the robot revolution? Here was my main point of the argument, despite all the interest in, you know, robots and whatever. I don't think we've had capitalism. That's what the, will capitalism survive the robot revolution? I don't think we've had capitalism since at least 1971, because I don't regard fiat currency as capital. I doubt that capitalism works without capital. How can you say, well, will capitalism survive? We don't have capitalism. We have some sort of a debt-based monetary system. Capital is an asset. Not a debt. It's an asset, or at least that's my contention. And I don't believe that a fiat debt-based dollar can be treated as an asset, which is what I, again, what I believe capital to be. So this notion, will capitalism survive? We haven't had capitalism for at least since at least 1971, when we went to a pure fiat currency and they stopped redeeming any dollars, even foreign-held dollars, for gold. Took the gold out in 33, took the silver backing out, and they stopped redeeming silver certificates in 68, domestically held. And then the last trace of a dollar as an asset currency, asset-based currency, disappeared when Nixon closed the gold window. So, you know, the question is not, will capitalism survive? Will capitalism be restored? And what really is the name of the system that we're using? If I'm correct, and fiat currency doesn't really qualify as capital. What is it, Melody? Central planning, communism, socialism, something along those lines. But do you want to ensure capitalism's survival? Are you pro-capitalist? Then get some capital back in the system, and the capital is going to be gold and or silver. If you're looking for a monetary capital, I mean, there's other things that you can use as capital. You can use resources and tools and one thing and another like that. But in terms of monetary capital, you're talking about, in my opinion, you're talking about gold and silver, and I don't think you're talking about anything else. And this is not just a small quibble. This is the sort of thing, I've talked about this in the past. But I think they're trying to run the economy based on the presumption that we can use a debt-based fiat dollar, and it'll do the same thing as a gold-based, asset-based dollar. And I think classical economics is based on the presumption that you're working with an asset-based monetary system. When you shift that monetary system over, you got a debt-based monetary system, I don't think classical economics works. You're off in an entirely new, you know, paradigm. You know what paradigm means, Melody?
Yes, I do, Al.
Well, I don't, but it's a good word. People use that from time to time, and I just thought I'd throw that in to add a little bit of, you know, add a little bit of intellectual class. But in any case, the question is capitalism going to survive? Capitalism isn't here. The question is whether capitalism is coming back, and that means, in my opinion, restoring the gold and silver monetary system that, in fact, is mandated in our Constitution, where it says no state, Article 1, Section 10, Clause 1. No state shall make anything but gold and silver coin, a tender in payment of debts. All right? Mandatory. Never been changed. That section of the Constitution hasn't been eliminated, repealed, you know, amended. Still law. When was the last time you saw gold or silver in circulation in this country? I don't know. The world's a strange place, Melody, but much of the strangeness, as we repeat on this program on a pretty regular basis, comes from the public's willingness to use fiat currency rather than gold and silver for their monetary system. And we've gotten away with it for 40 years or more. Seems like it was working, but all of the time it's been piling up extraordinary debts. It's been twisting compromising our economic principles, where we wind up coming up with ideas like negative interest rates. And I think it all points to bad direction. And if we want to restore capitalism, and I think that's an objective you should begin to keep in mind. I don't mean that we're going to restore capitalism right now or today or this week or whatever. But in the event that we really do see the kind of crash, the kind of calamity that a lot of people fear might take place, one of the things you're going to want to do is, in the midst of that collapse, say, listen, we don't want another fiat monetary system. That's what caused. That's the fundamental problem. We have to get back to gold and silver. We have to go back to capitalism, real capital, which is capitalism, which is based on real capital, not debt-based monetary instruments. So anyway, this was an interesting little article to me, at least, just because it gave me an opportunity to speak about capitalism and will it survive. It's not even here right now. We don't have any capitalists in the world right now. We have all debtors. So what's next, Molly?
Were you going to talk at all about robots?
Not a whole lot.
Not a whole lot.
No, my main point was I wanted to talk about the capitalism. And the headline is what triggered this thing. It's talking about robots, but capitalism was the key insight to my mind. I don't think people are saying, will capitalism survive? I'm saying I don't think it's here. I don't think it's been here since we went to a pure fiat currency.
Well, no. I mean, absolutely not. But we are in a system, and, people's lives and finances and retirement accounts and everything else evolves around that system, you know, regardless of the term that has been tagged. And, you know, people, because of the way it has been created and because of the lack of, I don't know what you want, assets and so forth, they will lose a considerable amount of what they earned, and they will lose it without even understanding that why they're losing it. They will point to someone, something to blame. And
they'll probably be wrong.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. They don't have an
understanding. You need to understand what your real, who your real enemies are and what the where the source of the adversity in your life may be coming from.
And the point
before you start jumping on somebody and threatening to lynch them.
But not only that, we're here to tell them that there are options to protect your wealth.
I agree.
So you don't have to lose it and put yourself in a position that you're dependent on someone or something else. You know, become your own personal banker, your own central bank. Well, you hear that's tossed around. I used that for a very long time. You want to be in control of your finances, not let somebody else tell you who, what, when, and where to spend your dollar, because you won't get that dollar back. But people fall into this complacency where, you know, hey, the market's dropped, and it was down 2,000 points a month ago, and you know, it's reversed itself, and you know, we're all in this happy land again. Well, you know what? Things don't correct themselves in that short period of time. This is an election year, and as interesting as it is, you know, things can happen, you know, in a lot of different ways that you just can't plan on. And they always try to keep the economy out of the news during election year. And what have they done so far? They've done an exceedingly good job keeping it out of the neighborhood. Sure. But gold is still up 15-16% for the year.
Yeah.
And the fundamentals, again, are strong. What are the fundamentals of the stock market? What are the fundamentals of the bonds that you own? What are the fundamentals of the gold shares that you own? What are the fundamentals for anything that you own other than gold? And when you look at gold's fundamentals, they're strong. They get stronger and stronger every day. They will protect your purchasing power. And so that is the importance. But I think the importance also, and I get that, Al, you're very right about the capitalism, but it is important to know that the world is turning to a robot world. And, you know, we hear the talk of all these jobs coming back into this country. Well, you know, you have to question.
No, they're not coming back. That's the problem.
Well, no, that's my point.
The industries are coming back, but the jobs aren't.
That's my point. And if they did bring any manufacturing back, what do you think is going to be there? Robots.
Yeah, I know.
So the big thing is you might create jobs for the tool and die, because all these plants, these manufacturing plants, they're all in, you know, they're all falling apart. So they'd have to build new plants. So yeah, your engineers, your tool and die guys and so forth.
I don't even know if we
or
have
would it be just die. Silicon Valley because
that's
of the
Most of the tool and die right now.
They're going to be gone
by computer. Yeah. Oh, they've been gone. They've been gone for a number of years.
But when let me finish. The vision that you receive when you hear people talk about bringing manufacturing back to this country, people vision the old manufacturing, and it isn't. It's gone.
That's bye bye.
It's not.
You know, you can buy computer numerical control devices. I've seen one that I've looked at, and I'm really I'd like to pick one up, about 10 grand. All right. And I'm not a machinist. I know a friend of mine is. He's letting me work on his equipment a little bit once. Well, it's fascinating to be carving on metal. I mean, it's really a fascinating thing, but it takes a lot of skill if you're doing it my hand if you are a machinist. But you get these CNC machines and you program the machine. You tell it, this is where I want you to cut this depth, this at this speed. I want this many RPMs. And you the machine just does it automatically. If you can do the programming on this thing, you can be essentially a machinist without ever really running a lathe or a milling device or whatever, in the sense of running it by hand. So the machinist industry has been replaced to a large degree by computers, which is very close to the same thing we're talking about. Robots. We don't need machinists anymore. We have computers. Let's take a break for some commercial announcements. Melody and I will be right back. Please stay tuned.
Financial obligations or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
Again, I want to remind the listeners to give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. If you have any questions, about your gold and silver portfolios, if you want us to take a look at them, we'll review them. We can tweak them if they need to be tweaked. I'm not a believer in trading just to trade, but sometimes you can upgrade your portfolio. Sometimes you can move things around and it'll give you a little bit better a consolidation of your gold and silver coins, put you on a plan for your when you accumulate your gold and silver, that you know what you're purchasing. You don't get caught up in, you know, someone out there trying to sell you gram bars at, you know, something that's, you know, 50% overpriced. You need to get more gold and silver for your dollars, and you need to get quality products. And that's the best way to preserve your purchasing power. And over the Easter weekend, I spoke to someone on a Saturday. We had a lengthy conversation, and, you know, he was talking to one of these guys who wanted to put him in. He wanted to spend a significant amount of money and put it in Switzerland. I mean, are you kidding me? What do you want to do with your gold in Switzerland or your silver in Switzerland? How quick can you get that? Do you have a private jet that you can jet on over there and view it to make sure that it's there? And that's not saying that these guys wouldn't follow through on the contracts and so forth. I'm not saying that, but how do you know? You don't own your gold or silver unless you have it in your hands. You have to take physical possession of your gold and silver, or you don't own it. Someone else owns it, and you own a piece of paper that tells you you own it. And certainly, if you have $5 million and you want to diversify, take some physical and put some in Switzerland, you have enough money to weather the risk. But for most people, they don't have $5 million sitting in their bank accounts, and it's always best to take physical delivery of your gold and silver.
Why do people want to put their gold in a foreign country?
Most of them believe it's more private. They don't want to store it. They think it's safe.
They don't want to store it in the United States.
They don't want to store it in the United States.
Why not?
Because the government.
Yeah, no. But what makes anyone think that if you store your gold here in the United States, people are concerned? Oh, they pass all kinds of laws. They passed laws to outlaw drugs. There have been no drugs in this country for now. But when did they start the war on drugs? There haven't been any drugs in this country for the last 40 or 50 years, except for maybe just a little bit of cocaine and heroin.
I'm not talking about those types of laws, though. I'm talking about, you know, there isn't anything private in the world anymore.
What I'm trying to get to is this. If the government of the United States decides to seize gold, it's very improbable that they're going to go door to door looking to see who's got any gold. They might, but it's very unlikely. But if you were storing your gold in some gold depository here in the United States, it would be the first place government goes, grab the gold, because there's a lot of it there and it's easy to take. All right. Now, point is, if our government decides to seize our gold, I guarantee you virtually every other government in the world is going to do the same thing. If you've got your gold in a Swiss bank over there, the Swiss are going to get angry because the government will undoubtedly have seized some Swiss gold that's in this country. And the Swiss will be angry and they say, well, we're going to show you and we're going to seize the American gold that's in the Swiss banks. In the final analysis, in a worst-case scenario, it's kind of up to you to protect your own gold. And you can't just think that if you get it offshore that it'll be safe, right? It just doesn't strike me as good reasoning. It'll be as vulnerable overseas as it is here in the United States. And what's the solution? Well, there's not necessarily an easy solution, but if we get to that point where we really have a serious problem, it's up to you to provide whatever security your gold needs.
I have a very good friend and client who had a lot of money in Switzerland in silver. Mm-hmm. And one of the spouses passed on. And now they're trying to deal with this large amount of silver stored in Switzerland. Mm-hmm. And it's not easy. It's expensive. Costly, taxes. You're not really helping yourself. You know, a lot of people go into gold because they want the privacy that gold provides, but yet they do everything just the opposite that takes away your privacy. So again, you know, these types of programs, You know, are you suitable for it? And just because some guy says, well, you know, I handle billions of gold and silver and this is what people do, come on. you really have to be careful in your thinking for a lot of these programs, you know, just like Perth Mint certificates. All you get is a certificate. Oh, well, it's there and I can sell it anytime I
want. Is that anything like the Wizard of Oz handed out?
Did you ever try to sell your Perth Mint? How long does it take? And again, it's probably an okay program for those that have it there. But how safe is it? You don't own it unless you have it in your hands. And I think we got a caller from somewhere. I saw that Arkansas. Joe from Arkansas.
Well, Joe.
Good afternoon, Melody Mel.
Hi.
I wanted to say something about the robots. It looks to me obvious that these robots are going to cause the worst depression ever because this. You know, there's the old story that Henry Ford wanted everybody that worked for him to buy a car, so he started paying 50 cents an hour, whereas the prevailing wage at the time was 25 cents. And then other employers had to raise their wages or people would go to work for Henry Ford. So that created higher wages amongst the working people in America, that amongst other things too. And so the United States became very prosperous with the big middle class because we had very efficient production, you know, assembly lines and everything, plus workers were getting high wages. And so there were a lot of customers for all the stuff that was produced. And so now globalism has reversed that, you know, now with global free trade, the workers everywhere have to compete with the lowest wages in the world, so wages are going down all over the world, so the purchasing power of the working people is going down all over the world. And so now the whole world is in depression with the Baltic Dry Index down at its lowest point ever and so on. And so the robots are going to make things even worse because now, you know, even the low-wage workers are going to be fired and replaced with robots. So who is going to be working to earn money to buy the stuff that the robots are making? So to have anything of an economy, it looks to me like what the people are going to have to do is they're going to have to say, hey, we're going to boycott anything made with robots, and we're going to have to start making stuff by ourselves, you know, by hand, by whatever machines can be manually operated and so on like that. And we're going to have to make a point of boycotting the robots and just buying from other people. And that's what will have to be done to get anything of an economy back.
You mean like boycotting products made in China and sold at Walmart? Is that the kind of ball? Because what we're talking about, it isn't going to
boycott anything made by robots anywhere.
Well, that's a nice theory, but I guarantee you the average person doesn't care where it's made if it's cheaper. And the robots will make things cheaper. Right?
You and I will not
be able to compete with them, and the robots will be able to produce products for less money than if they're produced by living people. And that means whoever does have any money left, they're going to buy what's made by the robots. I mean, the economics of this is just extraordinary. This isn't something that will be escaped. And again, like I said, they expect to have 80-90% of the jobs in China replaced by robots by 2020. That's insane. I mean, we're replacing coolies with robots. Robots are cheaper than coolies. I guarantee they're cheaper than you are, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know, this is going to be an extraordinary story over the course of the next 10 years. You know, we're hearing about it. We're thinking about it now. It's not going to go away, and it will become more intense and more profound over the course of the next 5-10 years. We're just going to hear it more and more and more. And what are we going to do? I think one way or, you know, ultimately, if you don't need to work to produce whatever it takes to feed you and clothe you and provide shelter for you and your family, if you don't need to work and the robots are doing it, we reach a point finally where somebody's going to say, what do we need those people for? You know, I mean, if you are not productive, we don't need you to produce anything. Why do we need you? That's a question that the world is going to ask, and people in positions of power say, what do we need all these idiots for? You know, they can't have internet talk shows and, you know, whatever. This is a big dangerous question. I mean, we are going to have to tax robots, where whatever the robot is making, a big chunk of the profit off that robot, whatever money's there, is going to have to go to people who don't even own the robot, per se. Or maybe everybody gets a robot. I get a robot, you get one, Melody gets one, and we get to rent it out, hire it out, wherever to whoever. Maybe we just get four or five. I don't know how it works out. But somehow we have to extract the wealth from the robot so we've got something to spend. If not, where do we get our money? Bank robberies? Hacking? Hacking into people's bank accounts? You know?
Well, with nobody working, who's going to buy the stuff to pay the tax, though, that,
that's,
you know,
exactly right.
on the stuff that the robot makes? That's the question there, I think.
Nobody's going to buy what the robots produce. What do we do for food? We're going to have to grow our own. This is strange stuff, and it will be revolutionary. And again, for anybody who'd understand, if you haven't seen, you can go up on YouTube and probably just, you know, put robots into the search engine, and it'll take you to a bunch of them. And I mean, some of them are strange. They are beguiling in the fact they make you think you're dealing with something human. I saw one of the robots on there where the robot has been trained and programmed to pick up a box that's sitting on the floor and put it on a shelf. And the robot walks up to the box, and he goes to pick it up, and some guy is there with a hockey stick, and he pushes the box out of the way where the robot can't get it. And the robot stands up, and he sees where the box is, and he goes over on his own to pick up the box again. And the guy pushes it again where the robot can't get it. And the robot, they go through this a time or two, and you are astonished if you begin to feel sympathy for the robot. And this guy is finally pushing the robot with the hockey stick. He's pushing the robot, and it's a robot that has two arms, two legs, a head, a torso, the rest of that. It is made. It looks human in the sense of its fundamental form. And when he pushes on this thing's chest, it almost falls over, but not quite. It catches itself, stands up, and it comes back up to pick up the box. You wind up having sympathy for the idiot robot. And you wonder, when is this robot going to clobber that guy that just keeps on fooling around with the box? But it's an astonishing video just to show you what the robots can do that we know about. And then some of the other robots that they have in Japan, they're just extraordinary, really. I mean, they're not just toys. These things are fast approaching a point where, I don't know, a lot of us are going to be replaced. And then what?
You know, what's interesting, though, when we talk about boycotting, that means people have to understand, you know, the threat of the robots, you know. And there was the Pew Research Center came out, and despite expectations that technology, you know, will happen on the human employment, there's a lot of workers who think that their own jobs and professions are still going to exist in 50 years.
In 50?
36%. Let me finish. 36% of workers anticipate that their current jobs or occupations will definitely exist. So they don't even see any type of a threat from robots. 44% expect that their jobs will probably exist in 50 years. So, I mean, you know, when you
have
those types...
How many of them think their money's going to exist in 50?
Yeah, so, I mean...
It's probably about 95%.
So, again, they don't have any idea, just like they had no idea about NAFTA. They, even though you had little Ross Perot out there telling the world, you know, hey, you're going to hear this giant sucking sound with NAFTA, who believed them? Who listened? Who understood? You know, until they lost their jobs. And this is the same thing. You hear these robots, they don't see the threat. They don't see that, you know.
The acceleration either. That's the thing that surprises me. We are seeing things happening in this world right now that people have been talking about since I was a kid. I can remember watching TV dramas with Itobar on Captain Video back when I was 5 or 6 years old, and they had Robbie the Robot on some other program, there's that sort of thing. Yeah, we know about robots. We've heard about it for a long time. But we thought it wasn't going to happen for, in the next couple of lifetimes after I'm... No, it's coming at us, and it's coming at us fast. This is not a thing where we are going to slowly absorb the robots. These robots are coming at us because they're cheaper to operate, and as long as that's true, they're going to be more popular than we are. And it's going to happen quickly, quickly. We're not talking about 50 years from now. This is going to be radical change in the very near future. Let's take a break for some more commercials. Melody and I will be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
I'm Alfred Addis, here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We're talking about robots. We're talking in part about, part of the problem is that the technology is advancing at such an extraordinary rate. It's not sort of the thing where you look back and say, well, 10 years from now, we should have such and such. No. You can start calculating what we're going to have, not in terms of years, but in terms of days. We have people, Mark Zuckerberg, if I understand, if I remember his name correctly. I don't remember. Is he Facebook or what?
Facebook.
All right, fine. The guy's a billionaire, right?
Not even 30.
Yes, but this is the sort of thing that's possible. Technology is moving so extraordinarily fast that some kid in his teens or 20s can start a business that can create billions of dollars. Do you think anyone, how many of you people in the audience, could resist the temptation of creating a business where you might be able to become a billionaire within the next decade? I mean, what I'm trying to illustrate is that kids, right now, I guarantee you, they're looking at Zuckerberg and say, he made $1 billion, he's a billionaire, I could be a billionaire. I've got to get something going here in the garage. And some of these kids are going to succeed. And they're going to come up with extraordinary technologies lured by the prospect of becoming billionaires or trillionaires before this is all over. If you come up with the right computer application, you can make, who knows? I mean, it is no longer irrational to suppose that someone could take a shot at ruling the world. You know, we used to have the evil genius that was going to try to do something, you know, Dr. Frankenstein. Dr. Frankenstein, good. You know, it's a punk. All right? We got kids right now that really, I'm sure they are thinking to themselves, you know, if this program works, I can take over the world. And it's the sort of thing that sounds nutty, but, and most of them who try will not succeed. I get that. But just the same, they keep on doing it and putting these different little technologies together in ways that people haven't previously understood or even imagined. And all of a sudden, strange, extraordinary things are going to be there. And it's the kind of thing that we will not be able to resist. I mean, Zuckerberg, you can say whatever you want about this guy, but he tapped into something.
He was lucky.
It may be.
He had a little college thing going on.
Yeah, I get that. He did something at the right time, and it was a function of this computerization. It was very close to the idea of robotization, and he did something, and he's a billionaire. Right? You got George Soros, who's trying to influence, doesn't even live in this country, and he's trying to influence the election of the presidential election coming up next November. We have people, you have a chance to become a billionaire, and you can throw your weight around and make the world move in directions that you personally think are good. You know, we can sit back and say Zuckerberg was just lucky, but I guarantee you he doesn't think so. He thinks he's brilliant, and he's got $1 billion or more to prove it, right, to prove that point. He says, hey, you're dumb. You don't have any money. I got $1 billion. That means I'm smart. And once you get that ego and you get that arrogance, you say, ha-ha, I have $1 billion. I am now in control. You get to feeling infallible. You come up with ideas that can ruin everything for everyone. And yet if you think it's right, and you think you can make another $1 billion? How can you resist?
They live on a totally different planet than the rest of us.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do.
They may perceive the planet in a different way, but the problem is they may live on a different planet than we do, but we live on their planet. And they're in a position with wealth. I mean, they can make things happen that are just amazing and astonishing. And it's all a function of this technology that's moving so rapidly that almost no one can keep up with it.
And not necessarily for the good of the people that are here.
Yeah.
You know, Bob Chapman used to say, you know, if you don't buy gold and silver, you're going to be under a bridge. Not to bring in gold and silver, but the point of living underneath a bridge, you have all these robots, all the computers, and it is the world that is evolving into a different area. But you know what? I always question technology. Yeah, they come up with great little gadgets. They make things go faster. They make things, a robot that can pick up a box and put it on a shelf and so forth. But you know what? They had the facts over 100 years ago. Yeah, and how have they improved on the facts? Yeah, they have the computers you can scan and so forth, but how many people still use faxes that prefer over scanning and everything else? And your scanners, they're always breaking, and the scanners are always doing this. How have they improved on printers? How have they, you know, so,
they're dirt
you know?
Cheap. They're dirt cheap, that's one thing.
Yeah, because they make them in China.
They make them in China. Well, but soon they'll be making them with robots. I mean, what is China going to do?
I don't care about China.
Yeah, well, I mean, that place is going to go up for grabs.
But the point is, not only are people going to be living under the bridges because they're not going to have jobs, their wages, you know, they will be living out of cardboard boxes. They will be living on the street. The government will be bigger and bigger and taken care of.
I don't know about that.
It's really not a good, you know, if you have, you know, and technology is great as long as you have power. As long as you have electricity, it's great. How many programs have the listeners heard about the EMPs that takes out the power? Then where are you?
Well, the robots are probably in bigger trouble than we are.
You know, technology is grand.
You want to defend yourself against robots.
But when you look at
EMP device.
But when you look at the world's infrastructure, you know, somehow it just doesn't support a lot of visions and places, you know, that they want to take us. But we can't worry about the future that far in advance. We need to think about the future here in the next 5 and 10 years, as far as how people, because a lot of things are going to happen before these robots actually get a paycheck.
I don't know what's going to happen, but it's strange. The world is strange, and it's becoming increasingly so, and people are concerned they're going to lose their job to an illegal alien. I'm saying, no, you're not. You're going to lose your job to a robot. The illegal alien is going to lose his job to a robot.
And this other Pew research talks about what they found as the medium income before taxes had fallen by 13%. From a decade earlier. And what's interesting is while expenditures had increased by nearly 14%. So, you know, they're spending 14%, but their incomes are falling by 13%.
When you say they, you mean private individuals are spending 14% than they did a decade ago, but their income is down 13%.
Yep. So, of course, that leaves them with less funds for any type of savings.
Well, it means they're operating on credit. That's
housing.
They're either running on savings and not many people have it, or they're running on credit and they're borrowing and going deeper into debt.
Housing, transportation, food drove much of the rise. And so, again, when they say we have no inflation, but you still see the housing, the transportation, and food continuing to rise. Low-income families may not see much of an alternative to spending more on shelter, communicating costs, and putting food on the table. Rent is eating up half of the income of low-income families. And so the core needs are getting more expensive, and, of course, the incomes that we talk about aren't rising to meet those costs.
Yeah.
And they talk about they go on and they talk about it's not clear from the survey where families are turning to make up the gap. Some of it was through savings, some of it is through family and friends, and credit.
And probably food stamps, for example,
mm-hmm.
right? And welfare and, public assistance and one thing or another like that. And what are you going to do
about it? This is income. This is income, and I don't think that's based on income. So these are people who are actually working and not getting a paycheck, you know, from the government, at least not a 100% paycheck from the government. So, you know, it shows that the core needs are continuing to get more and more expensive, and the incomes aren't rising. And the point is, even with robots, even with, you know, the manufacturing, if any manufacturing comes back, that's a big if, it's not going to help incomes. You can raise the minimum wage to 15%. I believe we talked about the minimum wage yesterday, bringing it back to $15, I mean. And how is that? It's not going to help. It's not going to help anything because those core needs are going to continue to get more and more expensive.
Well, it'll make people feel good. You'll buy a little time. And people say, yay!
Well, they're spending.
It's to $15 an hour.
Well, they are spending.
Oh, wait, I don't have it. I got fired. The other guy got the raise to $15 an hour.
They are spending more than what they're making.
Well.
And that's the situation.
So is the government. We live in a debt-based monetary system.
Exactly.
That's what they want you to do, is spend more than you're making. They need the debt.
They need the control. They need the debt and the control.
Whole thing is insane. I don't know what to do about it. I can tell you I saw a property out in Oregon when I was out there for a year and a half or a year back, 3 years ago. And I saw a piece of land up along a creek. And it was up high above the creek. It wasn't a cliff, but it was pretty close to it. And there was a pocket there where the dirt was just as black as midnight. All right? It was almost incredibly fertile. And I thought to myself, you know, you could grow a garden there that could keep you alive for a long time. And I still think in the back of my mind, That's a valuable piece of property. It's remote. There's no power and rest, that sort of thing. I get that. But there's something where you can grow your own food. You could survive there. There are deer and there's elk and wolves and bear. And, you know, I mean, it's interesting country. But there's, it may get to that. I don't know where this is going. You can see some fundamentals and you can see some things that are going to happen, or at least you think they're going to happen. But you extend, you look, you know, you can look 4 or 5 years into the future and say, well, this, and this virtual certainty. But look at 10 years. And all of a sudden, it becomes a lot less clear in 20 years. I mean, there's no telling what's going to be discovered. And something that is so irresistible that we all want it and makes somebody fabulously wealthy and the rest of us, I don't know what it does for us. What does Facebook really do for us, Melody? Does anyone know? It's a place to go if you don't like to play solitaire on the computer. You can go to Facebook, I guess. Substitute for Microsoft games. We live in interesting times. And we're facing problems that are almost certainly going to, I mean, problems that are growing. We can see them right now. Robots are just one of them. They're going to push us closer to something like an economic collapse. Does anyone listening to this program really see that we're going to have some sort of an economic success in the next 10, 15, 20 years? Everything's going to return to normal? I don't know that everything's going to ever return to normal, and it's likely, it seems to me, that it is already so fragile, and we know the government will not do what needs to be done right now. They're going to put it off and put it off and put it off and put it off until finally the whole thing blows up in everybody's face. And then what? We can blame the government, we can blame ourselves, we can blame whoever, but what difference does it make who we blame? There's going to be a problem. And we are going to have to take personal responsibility for ourselves and our families and whatever to see how we deal with that problem. And some of us are trying to figure out how to deal with this problem that we can sense coming, and we are among them, Melody and I are among them, and so are most of the people listening to this program. You see the problem coming, we're trying to figure out what to do, but most of the country is not aware of the problem or certainly not preparing for it. What are they going to do when this stuff really hits the fan? I mean, it'll be too late to play catch up. And a lot of what we're talking about on this program is not just a matter of making an investment in the sense that you buy some stocks, you buy some bonds, whatever. We're talking about survival, right? Not just financial survival either. We're talking about survival. And part of that formula will almost certainly involve, it'll involve some guns and bullets and, you know, the ability to grow your own food and distill your own water. And it's going to involve some gold and some silver. We are coming to a time when your mindset will have to be ready to deal with extraordinary problems, not the kind of, gee, what shall we order for dinner tonight? Do you want Chinese or do you want pizza? That's not going to be the problem. There are going to be bigger problems then, and we're going to have to learn how to, and we can hopefully learn how to deal with them before we get to them. We're out of time. I want to thank all you folks for listening. I'm Alfred Addisk, here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, with the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. There never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.
In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a ball.
money, money, always funny, in a rich man.